Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Thursday, June 16, 2009, and you are now tuned into The Experience with Momo Willie. That's me. The Experience sheds light on social issues while putting the spotlight on influential artists. So let's have a good time and love life. On today's show, we're going to be speaking with MC and community activist Jasiri X from Pittsburgh, so be sure to stay tuned. First, let's take a listen to a talented MC, or a femcee, if you will, from out of Chicago. I saw the video for this yesterday, and I had to repost it on Facebook. I really dug it. I saw a lot of my friends repost it, so I know you'll dig it, too. This is Never a Diva by Nay Inc. You are listening to The Experience with Momo Willie.
I'm not a diva.
Yes, that is what I'm talking about. That was Nay Inc. with Never a Diva. Shouts out to that talented sister. Add her on your favorite social networks to keep up to date. That's Naeink. Let's take a glance at what's going on locally and globally, because if you don't know what's going on, you'll be going down. On Saturday, 15-year-old Kimberly Anyadike finished a record-breaking flight across the country, becoming the youngest African-American female to pilot an airplane from coast to coast. She flew from Compton Woodley Airport in Compton, California, to Newport News, Virginia, and back, making 13 stops along the way. Unbelievable. She had with her an adult safety pilot and Levi Thornhill, who's an 87-year-old World War II vet who flew with the Tuskegee Airmen. Part of the reason for her voyage was to honor the Tuskegee Airmen, and I think that's important to note because there's so many other ways that our kids can honor and honor the history of us. And I think that her stepping in and saying, "Look, I'm 15, I'm going to make it happen," is really admirable. You know, the excitement for her is that, you know, she learned how to do this in an after school program at Tomorrow's Aeronautical Museum in Compton, and they offer the aviation lessons to underprivileged and at-risk youth. So these programs are not merely just to get our kids off the streets so that they're not doing drugs and prostituting and stuff. It's also to be able to teach them things, give them life lessons, things that they can really take with them that can get them somewhere and get them moving, doing something that's positive. And I mean, she could be flying your plane one day, you know, and do it with glee. So these kinds of programs are important for us to support so that we can have young girls like her making these kind of strides. Definitely proud of that young sister. I don't know her personally, but I'm proud to know that there's youth doing these wonderful things out here. It's very awesome. Now, we have in Riverside, California, there's the West Coast Million Father March being organized by a gentleman by the name of Terry Boykins. He's getting together with all the superintendents of the schools nationwide to do a Million Father March. This is, he says, to get the fathers to take their kids to school for the first day of school. And, you know, he says that if we as a nation have experienced sub-50 graduation rates during a stable economy, what can be expected from education in tough economic times? Now is not the time to play education politics with the future of our youth. We have already handed them a debt that will not be paid off for decades to come. So understand the role that the fathers play in ensuring that our kids can become something better by taking something as small as the first morning of school to bring them to school and make that statement there. It says, I do care about your education. If you want more information on the 2009 10 Million Father March, you can definitely visit www.streetpositive.com, or you can contact that brother. His name is Terry Boykins at 909-895-3765. I'm really excited to hear about that. We need to have more active fathers. Try not to just make it the first day of school. Definitely bring some more milestones in for our kids. So definitely looking forward to that. So that's the good news I want to share. We're going to take a listen to a song by a fantastic, fantastic lady named Legacy. This is called We Free. Check it out. We'll be right back.
knowledge. I seize it all through our eyes and notice all the honest lies. My demise occurred once I rose against the enterprise. I stay inside preparing for the global struggle or for self. When there's no religious gates to lean against, I'll know myself. Perfected aim, I'll spread disease, language who they think the same. Woke up on the wrong side of the bed just to play our strength. Went through John Kennedy's cabbage, exit Abraham. Lincoln's mind was scrambled with sausage. I toast to say the damn mass gangster crap, the clown that runs the nation. Scare at me strange, second grader spit and hate they self. Animation, nerve gas, shape shift and hesitate the true path. While I blast disillusion, thinking today's a new path. You're not alone, we came from the planet Mars. Lost in Ethiopia to triangle architecture. Align with stars, the longest arms are tricks. Way up the sleeves and lose the strongest bomb. Mind control, capsules that are placed inside suburban ponds. Do you try? Well, I fry. Holy sacramental lie. Poke the eye on top of the pyramid in its temple eye.
Machine. Way back in the day when I was young, they said dream. And when I followed that, they counteracted with me.
Sister named Legacy. Check her out. That's L.E.G.A.C.Y. Definitely doing her thing. She's also doing a lot of work in Africa, so you really want to check that sister out. She's doing so many things, and it's beautiful to see. Coming up, you know, we have Jasiri X, who will be discussing his upcoming album, The Autobiography of Jasiri X, and what's really going on in Pittsburgh. They say it's the most livable city in the U.S. Is that true? Is it not true? Well, we're going to get Jasiri's take on that later in the show. But first, let's check out a dope MC repping Be More to the fullest. This brother got more albums than Prince. Trust and believe it, okay? This dude has been doing it for forever. This is Lab Tech One with Ridiculous. Listen up.
Occupation, cesspool, ovulation, inoculation, intellectual sex groove. Calculated like my first nine chess moves. My nine makes your chest move. I turn guys to pet food. You write rhymes in the restroom. I design tribes in the test tube. I broke the best dudes, multiple flesh wounds. Sunrise meets the Neptunes. Oh, I'm so consumed. Allegorical duplicity, brutal misery. An onslaught of darts compounded with insult, assault and battery. You get chalked on a Saturday. Somebody talk to his family. Clever calamity. I treasure my strategy. Less tragedy intercepted by your chest cavity. That's why you're mad at me, but still I hurt you badly. Homeboy, you will never get your Mac off. You a scrub like a hand cloth. I got plans for a standoff. My little homies just wanna get their bags off. Lab's a boss, but I don't have to floss. Although you might catch me rolling with floss one time. Now check it out, ayo. My microphone is just too hot for your touch. Homie, I'm a rhyme monk. Why these niggas get it, they think they can speak with us? It's even more ridiculous. Sounds black like Soul Jazz and Funk. Cause that's what's up. I be tripping cause these hoes don't think they'll get crushed. It's even more ridiculous. Hold on, is complete the potion. Beats I stroll on, I'd achieve Dogon. Yo chick, can't keep her clothes on. Maybe cause I'm deep like the bottom of the ocean. Strictly KB, when I get my smoke on. Weird like Lil Jon, tryna sing a slow song. Seems so wrong, like light without photons. Mics get broke on, drowning my flow storm. No gag, you clap like a man with no arms. Peeps the older god, treat the older aunt. I stick your ass, get rolled on. I'm so calm, even in cold arch. More tracks than a junkie's full arms. Country moron, singing a dumb song. My skill make them feel like they tongue gone. Stopping the dawn, not half an oxymoron. Multiple baby moms, like I'm a Mormon. I jump your icons and punk your pisons. To me, MC's are pylons. I'ma let you pick the stage that you die on.
My microphone is just too hard for your touch. Homie, I'm a rhyme monk. Why these little kiddies think they can spit with us? It's even more ridiculous. Stop black like soldier and monk. Cause that's what's up. I be tripping cause these hoes don't think they'll get crushed. It's even more ridiculous.
I love you feeling uninspired, but before you take off your adult diaper, recognize I'm the rap Jimi Hendrix, the black rock star. You're just a guitar. I'll take you on stage, smash you up, and then set you on fire. You ain't gotta be Nostradamus, homie. It's quite obvious, I cause apocalypse. I get in the butt like a proctologist. And when I ain't building with the guards, I'm killing the frauds. I heard you was working with Neil and Bob. Oh, my bad, Neil and Bob, but you do it your job. But somebody with such a soft, wet mouth, you talk awful hard. I'm stroking your broad while you choking on lard. We'll see if you all ha-ha-ha with a broken jaw. Sisters think life is fly, you wouldn't understand why. You like to give guys five on the gay hand side. You wouldn't have real skill if the mic was a crack pipe filled with raw coke mixed with formaldehyde. Your style is mine, your child is mine. The monuments along the banks of the Nile is mine. Once again, let's rhyme. We'll just born, let's rhyme, come on.
My microphone is just too hard for your touch. Homie, I'm a rhyme monk. Why these little kiddies think they can spit with us?
Yeah, that is what I'm talking about. That was Lab Tech One. Some of these rappers do be ridiculous, but that's why we promote the ones that make sense on the experience. So if you want more information on this super-duper intelligent brother, check him out on any of your favorite social networks. You can check him out on Facebook, on MySpace, if you still go to that social network graveyard, you know. If you go over there, you can check him out there too. He's got tracks up, he's got plenty of music to purchase too, and he's got a fresh documentary, not documentary, like hip-hop love story that just came out, and it's screening. So when it comes to a city near you, you definitely got to check it out. Support good brothers like that brother. And now, as promised, let's welcome to the show an MC who is making much noise. Welcome to the experience, Jasiri X.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
The experience.
Yeah, most definitely. The experience. Most definitely.
Yes, yes.
I'm so excited. You got your new album, The Autobiography of Jasiri X, coming out. Tell us about the process of putting that together.
You know, initially, it kind of started with, and I tend to do this, it had like different names initially. The kind of concept around it was The Hereafter, and that I was kind of taking hip-hop to this next spiritual level. Hip-hop is dead, where does it go?
Mm-hmm.
It's The Hereafter. I'm taking it up to another spiritual level. But, you know, as I started to write the album, I noticed that a lot of the music that I was writing was kind of about me. And, you know, I was writing these different songs that were autobiographical. So to me, it was natural that, you know, as this artist that, you know, I did, you know, Frida Gina Six, and
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like, I guess you would say, most known for that type of music, Enough's Enough, where I'm kind of talking about these situations. I thought that it would give people insight as to why, you know, I decided to write in the manner that I write, while I decided to kind of take the issues on. And I don't think that people have really heard music from me that kind of describes my orientation, kind of like where I came from and then what led me to this point that I am right now.
So, oh, okay.
It seemed like a natural thing to, like, let people know more about me and then kind of give them insight to why I make the music that I make.
I think that's very important because I know a lot of people who may have heard the Gina 6 first ended up listening to and watching This Week with Jasiri X. So,
right.
And which...
And just like you said, here's another means of where I'm talking about the
mm-hmm.
news, but I'm not really referencing, like, news.
Yes.
You know, and then I'm not even in, like, I think except for, like, the last episode, I'm not even in it, you know, in This Week with Jasiri X. I'm more so talking about the news. So hopefully, you know, it piques somebody's interest to say, okay, well, who is this brother and why is he always dealing with, you know, these situations more so, unlike, you know, a lot of MCs, which is like, you know, basically talking about nothing or maybe coming up with a dance or something like that. So,
yeah.
Why am I different, you know, from those rappers?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, everybody loves to dance, right? But at the end of the day, there's a person behind the songs and that you create. And I think that that's definitely going to propel the autobiography of Jasiri X. I was privy to hear a couple of tracks on it. and it is very personal. And do you find that that's going to be difficult for you to have to deal with to come out now with, I guess, wearing your heart on your sleeve, whereas before you were tackling the issues? Or are you comfortable with that going into that stage now?
I think as an artist, like, I think it's just a natural progression as far as wanting people to know about, you know, things like inherently as an artist, like, you kind of want to be known as a part of this thing, like, and so for me, it's never been I've never had a problem with saying, you know, these are some aspects of my life that have brought me to where I am today. To me, it's just a natural progression as an artist, and I'm, you know, I guess looking forward to, you know, hearing how it will be received and, you know, what people think, of course, and hopefully that people enjoy it and good music. You know?
Oh, most definitely. I think that they're definitely going to enjoy it. Your name is Jasiri X, and you are a member of the Nation of Islam. Is that correct?
That is correct. That my X is real. Like, that's not a stage name. Like, that's real. I got mine the way Malcolm got his. So,
yes,
know?
Sir. Yes, sir. Do you think that being a member of the Nation and being an MC, is it a difficult balance to strike?
I don't think so. I think that sometimes it's more so like people's perception.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, people kind of have this perception of, you know, where you're in the Nation, and so sometimes people have a perception of what they think that should be.
Mm-hmm.
Even being a student minister, like, sometimes people have a perception of, like, you know, and I think that this is one of the things that hopefully even this process can help clear up, but sometimes people think, like, we're like these robots, like, for our time, like, we don't have, like, independent thought, or like, we don't like to have this, like you said, fun or do other things, you know, outside of this, like, okay, y'all, you know, y'all wear suits, y'all sell Final Calls, Mean Pies, y'all.
Yum.
It becomes this set of, like, you know, this idea that people have in their minds, but, you know, when you actually meet somebody in the Nation, like, we're like whole human beings. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
and so for me, you know, it's really like it breaks people's perception, and when people find out, oh, you know, you're in the Nation, or, you know, you're a student minister, like, wow, but you rap and you know, do these type of things. I mean, we're whole human beings, you know, and you have people in the Nation that do all manner of, whether it's entertainment or different things, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, for me, the teaching gave me more to rap about.
Okay, I definitely understand.
Kind of gave it a more depth. Mm-hmm. to really analyzing certain situations. And so I say all praise be to Allah, you know, because before I came in the Nation, I was rapping, but I wasn't really rapping about anything, you know.
Okay.
Meaning,
how long have you been in the Nation?
Since I got registered in 1998.
Okay.
So, But, I mean, my influence, you know, I've been influenced by Manson for Art Con, but it was just a point where I said, you know what, man, I would go and help this man, you know, because even to be in hip-hop, I mean, you couldn't listen to hip-hop in the late 80s, early 90s, and not know who Minister Farrakhan was.
Oh, that is correct.
and hear Minister Farrakhan. It was really hip-hop for me to introduce me to Minister Farrakhan, and, you know, that, you know, changed my life and changed my reality, and it's like now, you know, it seems like that hip-hop is introducing, you know, our youth to a whole different mindset, and not a mindset of freedom, justice, and equality, and that it really needs, you know, people really need to stand up and begin to say, like, well, you know, we want our young people to experience more than just, you know, dropping it like a pop. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, most definitely. I think that that the message has been in your music in such a way that it's not beating anybody in the head. And sure. I think that goes to what you were saying about, you know, about being robots, where many can spit rhetoric, but they're not
exactly.
They're not saying something that is relatable for everybody, or even
right. I mean, but that's I took that as a very, like, that's deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't want to make an album just for members of the Nation of Islam.
Yes, sir.
Because I thought that was kind of like self-defeating in a sense. And then, because sometimes, like, you know, as an artist of the Nation, you'll say, okay, I'm going to make this album for the Nation. And then if we don't get the support from the Nation, then we get mad at the Nation. And, you know, you kind of get bitter or something. And I never wanted to do that. I wanted to create music and I mean, to me, I'm just following the example of Minister Farrakhan. You know, when the Minister Farrakhan teaches, he's not teaching in a way where just people in the Nation can understand it. I mean, he's using a universal language and a universal message that can reach the whole world. I mean, no matter who you are,
yes. You
can listen to it and say, man, that's the truth. And so I just tried to take on that same mindset as an artist and create music that is not. And I remember working with a producer, and he sent me a track, and I sent it back, and he was saying, man, I love the fact that you're not, like, beating, like, what you believe. Like, you need to believe like me. You need to believe like me. And, you know, and I was saying, well, man, you know, my teacher doesn't do that. Why should I?
Yes. I think the minister is definitely a great example. And I see you following very well, and as well as carving your own niche. You know, you can't just be a student and you know, just can't be a follower. It's important to be a student and understand other areas of teaching, even if that is your specific school of thought that you subscribe to. And I see that definitely in your work. Let's talk a little about Lyrics, Inc.
Well, Lyrics Inc. kind of came out the time working for Pittsburgh Public Schools and wanting to introduce, like, the job I had, I dealt with after-school programs.
Okay.
So I basically said, what do y'all want to do? And they, you know, they said, okay, well, we want to play basketball. The gym was off-limits. And then they said they wanted to rap. Okay, well, I'm an MC, so I got equipment. And I brought equipment into the school after school, and I would have, like, I mean, 50, 60, 70 young people come in after school, and it was really like almost, you know, at first the school wanted to shut it down because, like, you know, it was some racial dynamics to where I was and having young black people after school. They kind of wanted them, like, to leave the neighborhood, you know. So after that experience, I got another job within the school, which allowed me to travel to different schools, and I just started to set up these, like, you know, hip-hop clubs. And just the amount of participation I got was something that they had never seen. And so there were different times where people asked me, you know, can you come here and talk about what you're doing in school? And when I began to discuss what I was doing with educators, I found out that they had no idea, like, what hip-hop was. You know, they were asking me, like, what is a hook? The hook, what is that? And so it's kind of like the light bulb went off in my mind to say, well, they'll pay me to teach them about what hip-hop is.
Oh, yes.
And how you can use it in order to affect, like, positive change amongst young people. And so that's where, you know, and Lyric stands for Leading Young Rappers in Career Success, that I can say, okay, we're going to talk about hip-hop, and young people will show up because they love rap, and then, you know, we're talking about language or use of language. We're talking about media and its effect on what you see. We're talking about economics. I mean, because hip-hop covers all of these facets, we really can begin to have a conversation about so many different things, but just under the guise of hip hop. So it's almost like hip hop is like that bait that kind of gets you there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're discussing hip hop, we're also discussing like what are the predominant image of young black men and women? Why? Who owns it?
Yes.
And then how you can make sure that you present your own image and take control or take back the presentation of your own image. And I think like the success that I've had nationally has given me more, even more of a, I guess, attraction, because you can't say, well, oh, if you kick knowledge, you know, you won't be successful, because, you know, I'm one of the most successful artists coming out of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
That's nationally known, and, you know, I've taken this route of, quote unquote, kicking knowledge or conscious rap. If that's what you want to call it.
Oh, then that's definitely a good example. I know that there are many who are so quick to tell you that you can't do, you know, go this conscious route and be able to be successful. But in the same time that they're spending to talk about how you can't spread the good word and be successful, they could be spreading the good word, you know, and they're taking up that time with that negative energy. And they're not encouraging more. And if they spent more time encouraging, I think we'd have more brothers like you doing good things. But I'm glad to see you do it regardless, you know? Definitely that example that that is out there so that people can know.
And I think it's definitely an industry thing that you know, a lot of young people, it's not that they don't. I mean, you have in Pittsburgh the two, you know, other MCs that are making, like, national noise is, like, a young man named Wiz Khalifa and another young brother named Boaz. And they both, like, have knowledge of self and consciousness. I know both of them, you know, and have spent time with both of them and have heard both of them rap in a very conscious way. Mm-hmm. It's just that the industry says that's not going to sell. And so these are young men that want to use their talents and to make money to financially benefit themselves and their families,
mm-hmm.
you know. Both from what you would call, quote unquote, the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's more so like an industry that says, and then we have to start asking, well, why? Why is you know, we say BET's ours or these different or Radio One, but why won't or why doesn't young men that want to say something meaningful get support?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have to continue to support our own, and
absolutely.
As soon as that word of mouth, you know, spreads it, then that's what's going to make it pop, because it's a lot of energy spent in saying that it's not done, you know? We just need to keep doing it. People will get it sooner or later, you know? And if we have to be the trendsetters and make that happen, then we just got to make it happen. And that's a burden I'm not mad at, you know?
right.
Definitely. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with some more with Jasiri X. You are listening to The Experience with Momo Willie.
Experience.
The Experience. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
You've been following the poetry since AIDS and Babies dropped in 2006. Now you can finally own an entire collection of Momo Willie's words. The Momo Willie Experience is available for pre-sale. Check out www.itsmomowilly.com or facebook.com/MomoWilly for more info on Omar Khayri's newest favorite collection of poetry. Pre-order your signed copy today.
Have you heard of this guy that has a song on MySpace called Free the Gina 6 and he's calling out Louisiana rappers?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of guys don't really understand, you know, when they're calling out people. You can't just call out people. I mean, that people, especially if you don't know the situation.
High planes, drifter, mic gang slicker, lines paint pictures, life explained through scriptures, disciple of a master teacher. You would think my voice was a rifle to wear blast through speakers. High energy, free your mind from the penitentiary. With one rhyme, help redefine history. Reluctant spokesman, when them doors busted open, verbs of power, my pen just wrote them. I said it was movement music, but I never dreamed it would be the theme, and you choose to use it. But God works in mysterious ways, and it led to more than a few delirious days. Got serious plays, my own lane, I made my space. No budget, no team, just a page on my space. Dark glasses can't hide the pain on my face. Put it in God's hands, he ordained my fate.
You can have this life. This is the hereafter. I don't have no price. This is the hereafter. I don't rock for the bread. This is the hereafter. Hip hop is dead. This is the hereafter.
I got more to offer, bookstores to author. Good Lord, impart your wisdom on my lyricism. Put your spirit in them, let it crystallize. Empower the victimized, crush the dust, those spitting lies. Got them all hypnotized to wake them up where my mission lies. So I become like the sun in the risen sky. Cause where there's no light, then the vision dies. And I write with tears in my eyes, cause the youth are crying. My tongue's like a 21 gun salute to the dying in Jerusalem. They yelling, crucify him, but they can only harm him if the Lord denies him. The wise men seen a shining star, they followed it to the east, and inside the barn was a baby that was born to a virgin mother. And unknown artist from Pittsburgh was discovered.
You can have this life, this is the hereafter. I don't have no cranks, this is the hereafter. I don't rock for the bread.
Evolution of rap, the revolution is back. We executing the slack, electrocuting the track. The third rail in the flesh. Before my words fail, I visit death. Pittsburgh, the braille, I just give it text. The pulse of the youth, I feel the heartbeat of these hard streets and prescribe a dose of the truth. I'm focused in the booth. The lyrical laser beam that leaves your face razor clean without the shaving cream, not the player's theme. These are songs from Zion. Never played the king, but they still belong behind them. So strong and rhyming that the song is crying. They was wrong for lying, so they gone and died. And I'm on and shining in the middle of darkness. Cause you can't have a hit with an invisible target. Just another picture from a visual artist. Hip hop reborn from his lyrical carcass. Let's
go. You can have this life. This is the hereafter.
That was The Hereafter from the autobiography of Jasiri X. You are listening to The Experience. I'm Momo Willie, and we have Jasiri X on the line.
Yes.
That album is definitely going to be phenomenal. I'm so excited for everybody.
It will be.
Yes, it is phenomenal. But it's going to definitely do big, big things. So what's going on in Pittsburgh right now?
Oh, well, I mean, it's actually a lot, you know. It's the summertime, so, you know, unfortunately,
killer
you
season.
Know, you have a, right, the violence increasing. You have, you know, Pittsburgh preparing for this G20 summit, which is pretty interesting, you know, because they're training to, you know, it's going to be protests and all this and this and that. You have a situation, really, where, like, young black men are kind of being just put in jail based on, like, almost no evidence. Like, the situation in Pittsburgh is that, you know, if I said Momo Willie shot this person, you'd be arrested, you would be put in jail, and you don't have bail.
Wow.
You just have to sit there. And then, you know, if I get on the stand and said you did it, you might just go to jail with no evidence. There was a young man here who basically was arrested for murder, and the one, no gun, no physical evidence, and the one witness got on the stand and said, the police coerced me. Mm-hmm. This young man did not do it. You know, I was made to testify by the police, and the jury still found him guilty.
Oh, my God.
And he's looking at, you know, 20 years in prison. And so, but at the same time, you had a police officer who actually shot somebody. This police officer was drinking. You know, witnesses said he was drunk. He got an argument with somebody, somebody punched him, and he just goes and grabs a random black dude. This, mind you, this is not the black dude that he supposedly had a conversation with. Shoots him, you know, shoots this guy, and basically this is in front of, like, a whole bunch of witnesses. He's found not guilty, and the judge said that it's not their job to police the police.
So, oh, you know, wow.
So it's like, well, whose job is it?
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, this is where, you know, we're kind of at right now. And it's, I mean, it's really at a point where, you know, they're basically saying, like, if you think you're going to get justice with this system, you're not. And so then, you know, we'll say, well, but then if you take justice in your own hands,
yes,
you know, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
I mean, it's really a pretty deep situation, and one we're trying to use to really educate our community as far as, you know, there's another piece that's coming in Pittsburgh where they have this initiative to reduce crime, which is really, mm-hmm. they're trying to just basically just swoop all these young brothers up and
yes.
imprison them, because prison is big business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just trying to warn these young brothers to say that, you know, if you're involved in that lifestyle, you need to come up out of it. And we really need to sit down and talk about legitimate ways we can use our talent and gifts. And that's kind of why we began to organize One Hood around hip-hop, because we see all these talented MCs, we see all these talented producers. Pittsburgh's history of production, you know, goes all the way, you know, back to the Chronic and the Chronic 2001,
yeah.
which you had a lot of Pittsburgh producers on. And so we're saying, like, how, you know, we're just trying to find a way that we can allow these young people to use their talents and gifts so they can come out of a lifestyle that a lot of times they become involved in just because they want to have nice
They
want to
have nice
things. You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right? Yeah, but when we create opportunities for them, then, you know, it's so much about don't do this. But then you say, what do I do? So we
right,
create
exactly.
those opportunities and keep these kids busy. And these young adults, too, you know, a lot of them are still, you know, still trying to get, you know, gravitate towards this baller, drug dealer lifestyle. And
right.
you know, it's a really passe now, you know. It's really like, you know, it's out
right.
of style.
But then on the flip side, you have unemployment rates that are, you know, amongst young black men, 50%, 60%. So, you know, it's hard to tell somebody, like, okay, you don't have a job for me, and there's no opportunity for me, but then to don't do, like, negative things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like you said, it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? I want the American dream just like everybody
yeah.
else. And if there's no opportunity for me, like, what am I supposed to do? So, you know, some people are kind of talking about this green economy, and so we're kind of looking at that and trying to make sure that, you know, if those quote-unquote green jobs come to Pittsburgh, that,
mm-hmm.
that you know, that young black people have representation in it. So we kind of become just advocates for the young people in our community, because what we're seeing is that, you know, Pittsburgh is trying to really make them the scapegoats for everything that goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, blame these young black people, and the solution is locking them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found ourselves saying no.
That's right.
You know, that we're not going to just let you do that and deal with our children in that way. So, you know, what it does is it kind of, you know, then we're considered, like, radical or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you know, that's better than, you know, than following the crowd and being sheeple, you know?
Yeah.
And if,
right, I
think that the example that you guys are setting in Pittsburgh is, you know, makes it such that it's a model for the other
right,
big cities.
Right.
Because, I mean, if Pittsburgh is supposed to be the most livable city in the United States of America, and these occurrences are happening. I mean, I saw pictures with tanks. Like, the police have huge tanks, and they're rolling through the streets of Pittsburgh. If they're doing that in the most livable city, what's going on in the worst cities, with, you know, the quote-unquote worst cities?
And it's interesting because, you know, when they did that, we obviously, you know, when Paul Pittsburgh kind of came out, and we're really saying, like, well, obviously they weren't. It's the most livable city. I mean, the underlining in parentheses is for what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the parentheses that is, you know, is really like,
mm-hmm.
it's sad but not sad.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, right after they call Pittsburgh the most livable city, the University of Pittsburgh did a study and basically said that black people in Pittsburgh were the poorest in any major city in America.
Wow.
The poorest. Single parent or single parent households, the most, the largest percentage in any major city in America, you know? So when that came out, we basically said, well, obviously they're not talking about it being mm-hmm. livable for us as black people. Now, we weren't even considered in that study.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just, like I said, so we're always just being those mm-hmm. ones that are trying to make sure, like, you're not going to just, like, scapegoat
mm-hmm.
some people. And then also, you know, not just holding the outer community responsible, but some inside
mm-hmm.
of our community that want to, that are seeking to just make money off the backs of our young people. And they see the stimulus, they, you know, they're doing the stimulus dance right now. You know, it's like, you want to just turn our young people up so you can uplift yourself and get money for yourself,
mm-hmm.
but yet the neighborhoods you know, some of them get millions of dollars, but the neighborhood is not changing, getting worse.
Oh, definitely.
So we also are so that doesn't make us some popular.
Hey, you got to keep doing it, right? Jesus was a popular.
2 to 5, we're more popular outside of Pittsburgh.
it bees like that sometimes, you know.
Yes, it definitely does. Uh-oh. It definitely does.
Most definitely. You know, you got to keep doing that good work. So
yes.
We know our dear brother, Michael Jackson, passed recently. The minister had, you know, kind words to say about him. How did his death direct you specifically?
You know, I'm a you know, huge fan of Michael Jackson and his music. So I was sad and, you know, at the sudden passing of Michael Jackson, and you know, even more saddened, or I guess I'm probably not even saddened, because I mean really shouldn't be surprised, but just at how the media really began to just intensely attack his brother. I'm talking about minutes following, you know, his passing, and you know, it really, you know, showed, and really began to like divide, you know, kind of America, like along these racial lines, just based on, you know, how he was treated. So just to see this brother, you know, treated in this very, very negative manner. I mean, somebody that was, I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful human being, a kind, a loving human being. So somebody remarked, like, you never saw, like, Michael Jackson, you know, angry or, you know, yelling at somebody. Listen here, man, you know what I mean? Just, I mean, Michael was always, like, just loving, kind person, and it was just a real shame to see, you know, how low some of these media outlets got in their portrayal of him, or him just, you know, just like, you know, how he was referred to so negatively. So that definitely was something that showed to me that, you know, we definitely need our own media, even, you know, having BET Awards.
Yeah, they're atrocities.
That whole, right. I mean, that thing, and it's like, and you find out that, you know, that's, it's not even, you see Deborah Lee, but it's really Summer Redstone and Viacom that owns BET. That's not even ours. And so, to me, that memorial was beautiful.
Oh, it was wonderful.
It was so beautiful to me because they couldn't spin it. Like, you had to basically to show what was happening. And these are all those personal stories about Michael from Brooke Shields, from Congresswoman, I think her name was Lee, where he went to visit the troops. And, you know, all of these things that I didn't know. You know, to hear from the King family that he called Coretta Scott King. Here's Michael Jackson. You thinking like Michael Jackson is just, he's a, you know, doing $1 million Michael Jackson thing, but that he took time to call, you know, Coretta Scott King and sing for her and pray for her. I mean, it just really, I mean, it brought a tear to my eye. Wow, this was just a beautiful, beautiful human being. And, you know, definitely feel like that part of our responsibility is to make sure that, you know, he's treated properly. So we actually heard last night that Minister Farrakhan is going to do a lecture on the last Sunday of July, which I believe is the 26th.
The last Sunday, yes, the 26th.
Yes. It's going to be titled Crucifixion of Michael Jackson and Responsible Black Leadership. So, you know, I'm definitely, like, waiting.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know that. I'm definitely waiting, too.
Oh, yeah. So July 26th, I mean, it's definitely going to be something where Minister Farrakhan is really going to defend, you know, as usual, defend our brother and also other leaders that, you know, the media has a tendency to crucify, you know?
Okay. I think with Michael's passing, while there was a lot of negative media portrayal, I found there to be a lot of love shared. I found it to be a lot of sadness because he was so well loved, and I think that though I'm still sad by his death, I think I've gained strength in knowing that Michael, like you said, was a nice guy. He lived his life well, and he gave a lot of love, and his death brought sadness because he gave love. It wasn't as much of I'm happy. Even when there were so many detractors who had negatives to say about his life, nobody was saying like I'm glad he died. You know, it was
that is true.
You know, it wasn't that.
It was,
I think that
I thought too, if I could say, it was like two things that I really thought was interesting. One was that, you know, you know, this worldwide, you know.
Worldwide.
I mean? You know, I mean, that memorial was, you know, in Russia and France, and how, I thought it was interesting how in 2009, the two times, you see almost like the world stopped.
The world, exactly,
was,
for peace.
Was to recognize two black
mm-hmm.
men, one being, you know, President Obama
mm-hmm.
and his inauguration, mm-hmm. and then the other being the passing of Michael
mm-hmm.
Jackson. I thought that was like, wow, you know, that showed like kind of where we are as black people in America and how much worldwide influence and
yes,
power that we have.
Exactly.
If we were to unify, come together and really use it. And then the second thing, I always felt like it was only right. Certainly right. But because he meant so much to that family and the success of that family, for him to kind of pass, and they all were able to kind of honor him.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really carried that family. I mean, I can't imagine being a child. You see what I'm saying? And then you're like the person that is like the economic breadwinner of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like eight or nine.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's a lot of pressure.
Right. So it was almost, you know, for all of them, even his mother and father, to be able to just to pay homage to mm-hmm. what he did for, you know, not just even just us as fans, but just his family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was, you know, I thought that was interesting. And I just, of course, like everybody, wish that something could have been done like that before he passed.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
I mean,
hopefully we can look. And,
it's a quite a catalog.
And say that to our own loved ones. Yeah.
It's
but to our own loved ones to say, before they leave, let's make sure that we let them know how much we care about them.
And I think that to see how vast that his influence became says that can be any of us, because as quick, you know, as large as he became, he died less as any of us would have. You know, he had a heart attack. That could be anybody. Can, you know, stop war in Iran. Any of us can be that influential. So I think that definitely that his legacy has showed us that, and we can be anything we want to be, and that brings me a lot of solace in the wake of this good brother's passing. So how can people find more about you, Mr. Jasiri X?
Oh, yes. Well, you can go to, you know, my blog is called Real Talk Express, Real Talk, and then X, P-R-E-S-S, and I'm actually going to be having some big updates. I actually just, a song I did with a brother named Adasa Tariq
mm-hmm.
and a brother named Living Proof called Justin Minstrel,
mm-hmm.
where we commenting on the state of hip-hop that just dropped today. So I'm gonna put that up. And then also, you know, that's a place where you can come and find new music
mm-hmm.
That's going to be on the autobiography of Jasiri X. I also have a mix CD in the work that, you know, we're talking about Pittsburgh in the summertime called The City of Steel.
Okay.
Where I'm just dealing with kind of, you know, that whole dichotomy of young people, man, really struggling to kind of find a place
mm-hmm.
and find something positive. And so that should be out soon. So realtalkexpress.com,
mm-hmm.
come holler at me.
And when can we expect to pick up a copy of the autobiography of Jasiri X?
Tentatively right now, maybe September, October time.
Okay.
Also, for those fans, this week with Jasiri X, the last week of September will be the premiere. You know, we're going to be, you know, dealing with the G20, which
yes,
is in Pittsburgh.
Sir.
I mean, when all the economic leaders of all over the world come to Pittsburgh, who better to cover that newsworthy event?
Definitely, most definitely. I am very much looking forward to that, and as well as
absolutely.
The Hard Truth Soldiers tour. As soon as the
yes.
dates are scheduled, then let me know, and maybe we can
absolutely.
Have you back on the show, okay?
Anytime. We want to make it the experience.
Most definitely.
Congratulations on your show. It's been
Thank
a long
you,
time
brother.
Coming. The book
Thank
that you,
you.
Have. And you know, you're just a beautiful presence in this scene, and we just happy to have you and your support.
I appreciate you, brother. I definitely appreciate you. Good, Dad. Definitely glad to have you. Jasiri X, thank you so much for being on The Experience with Momo Willie. The Experience.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow, that was awesome. Definitely just Siri X, you know, coming through and dropping knowledge and letting us know what he's dealing with and what's going on in Pittsburgh, which is the most livable city to some, but not all. I know I have to give a shout out to all of my peeps in the chat room who decided to log in and make their presence known. Not that I'm mad at my guests, definitely thank you for coming through and listening. So I want to give shouts out to Nay Inc. and Precise out of Chicago, Haiti Blues repping the MIA, King XJW from the A, and you know the rest of you guys who did call in just to listen. I'm really excited because this was the premiere episode of The Experience, and I'm really glad for the love that you guys showed me during the show. Remember, if you want your songs played on the show, send it to solifiedmanagement@gmail.com. That's solifiedmgt@gmail.com, and I'll definitely try to get it on for you sooner than later. If you can, send me a radio edit. You know, this is it is internet radio, but I'd like to keep it as clean as possible, so radio edits are much appreciated. For those of you who sent me links to where to download it, I don't have your tracks. So if you can get the MP3s to me, that would be super, and I will definitely take that into consideration to put it on the air. Remember, positive energy is the best weapon in any war. Never fight any battle without it. Watch the weak cower and buckle under the light. That's a Momo Willie exclusive, okay? You have just been a part of The Experience with Momo Willie. Experience life, experience love, experience Momo Willie. Peace.